And we're coming up on 10 minutes after the noon hour on our Wednesday, mid part of another week. And if your church meets on Wednesday night, I trust that you're already making plans to be in your place and you're praying for your pastor or whomever's going to be preaching for you. Looking forward to church tonight. We've got Swap Shop coming up in just a few moments with myself and Pastor Eddie Conard, and we would count it a great joy if you've got time to hang around with us. Also, we invite you to let us know if you've got something you're looking to buy, sell, or trade, lost and found, maybe a garage, yard sale, estate sale, or a business, and you have job openings. Several different ways you can reach us. You can visit us online, wgcr.net. You're welcome to email that address, wgcr@icloud.com, or you can simply pick up the phone and give us a call, 828-884-9427. The Nun Sisters. Hope this encourages you this afternoon. I know a lot of folks going through some pretty deep water. Be comforted today that there's never a time He's not with us.
Does it seem like the storm just won't break? Is there a mountain in front of you the doubt says will never move? And you wonder, will God make a way? Well, tell me a time He's not been faithful. Tell me a morning His mercy
This is Roger Walton with a moment from our Christian musical heritage.
Precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Eugene Bartlett is the writer of this song of victory. He was enjoying being in good health in the mid-years of his life when a stroke hit him hard. He had worked for a music company that published Shape Note singing books. He also established the Hartford Music Institute to train teachers and musicians. But his stroke in 1939 left him partially paralyzed and unable to travel and sing as before. So he spent his new free time studying the Bible and counting his blessings. This was his last song of some 800. It was hard to write in his condition, but what words to write in that condition? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Thank God for victory in Jesus.
And the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
A Christian Musical Heritage Moment is a production of Anchor Broadcasting.
That familiar theme, welcome to Wednesday.
Yeah, we're just a couple of days away from the end of the month. 30 days has September, and we are at 28.
I never really learned that whole rhyme.
30 days. Yeah, 30 days has September.
Okay.
April, June, and November.
Uh-huh.
All the rest have 31, except February, which has 28, and on leap year, 29. That's
there
it.
There you go.
So 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except February, which has 28, and on leap year, 29.
Yeah. It's a mental block somewhere there.
Yeah, it's okay.
Our AM hours change just a little bit.
Yeah.
Starting on Saturday, the 1st of October, our sign-on is 7:30, and then our sign-off is 7.
So we lose about what?
We lose
15 in the morning,
yeah.
But we lose about 45.
We do. We take a big hit in the evening there. And we're, 7:20 a.m., we are 50,000 watts, and we're so thankful for that. But we're licensed a.m., daytime. So as long as it's daylight, we can broadcast because we share the same frequency as WGN in Chicago, the big gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we have to go off. Otherwise, we compete with their signal.
Yeah.
I know it's crazy to think hear heard in Chicago, but because we're on that low end of the dial, signal really booms.
And the good, and really, when you think about it, especially at night, given the skip that AM can have on occasion, and it's typically relative to the weather, you can. I guess I'm going back to my I'm dating myself where we used to all talk on CB radios when we were kids.
Know,
we all had them in vehicles where you could get some a little bit of power behind it, and you get up on top of a mountain. You could, I know, I was thinking about when my dad had those in, and he'd have, we could go up on Pisgah and he could talk all the way to Texas on those things. It's pretty amazing.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal back in that day because we didn't have cell phones. We thought we were on top of the world, so we could talk to, in other parts of the country just on a little radio and, inside the vehicle.
Put the antennas outside.
Yeah.
We actually went to some CB radio rallies down like in Pickens.
They're coming back. Literally, they're making a comeback.
They are.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I know a lot of folks into them now, but yeah, we had, I was Bugs Bunny. That was my CB handle.
Yeah.
When my dad would let me talk on it, I was young, so.
I can't tell my handle.
Oh, okay. Cause
I could, but but the thing is that, that was, I guess I could, it didn't matter, but I was Little Ridge Runner. You know what Ridge Runners are? That was the nickname for bootleggers.
I didn't
moonshiners.
Know that, so I'm learning
the
a lot
ridge
today.
Runners, that's what their name was, ridge runners, because they'd run the ridges instead of off the highway, stay
there
off the highways
go.
To run their liquor. Well, that was just kind of a hand-me-down name. I didn't pick it because I was like little.
Yeah,
but anyway, it was cute. And so anyhow, they're making a comeback. I have one. Yeah. I got a brand new one getting ready to put in my truck just because you never can tell.
No, they say hang on to stuff because it will cycle back around.
Yeah.
I mean, who among us has got rid of all their vinyls, their LPs?
No, that's
thinking,
right.
Thinking, oh,
that's right.
But now they've made a huge comeback.
Well, speaking of that, I was gifted the other day a bunch of cassettes, brand new cassettes of some older music of a lot of the groups that we play. Now, I'm going to go through them and probably take a little bit of time because I'd have to record them real time because it's very hard to go from analog to digital. I have the capability at the church to do that, but you got to do it in real time. But that being said, there are some great, great older songs on some of those, which are really, really cool.
And with those cassettes, you have to be so careful.
You got to be
because
real careful.
The tape.
Yeah,
gets brittle, and it will break. So vinyl kind of weathers the years a little bit better than cassettes. But if you have old cassette tapes, I would encourage you to probably bag them up and take very good care of them if you want to preserve them. There's even businesses now, I think, that they move cassettes to, a digital type format.
The beautiful, I don't know, it's just intriguing to me, that actually, production companies make additions to their recording equipment to be able to mimic the crackle in the album on vinyl, because it's hard to get that. I noticed on the recording from the Gospel Plowboys, that song that they do, Don't You Want to Go, and the guitar licks are very prominent in that song because you can actually hear him sliding his fingers on the and a lot of times, used to they'd filter that out. Back in the 80s, 90s and early 2000s, they'd start filtering that out. They didn't want to hear that. But now it's a comeback because it's like a skill to be able to do that. So I think it's cool. I think it's great.
Yeah.
And you got that automatically when you had just albums, LPs, vinyl. And so you could, because it was just one of the things, and we thought, oh, that's just a bunch of static back in those days, but now it's a real deal. They love it.
It was kind of a purity because
you knew you
were getting just the raw. There was not a lot of effects put into that, they had some, but not like there are today. But nonetheless, there you have it. Don't know. Trying to track. Well, CBs, there we went, and we were there.
Yeah,
we go. But I was trying to think,
okay,
how did we end up here? But
we went from from giving a rhyme for the year, for the days of the year.
To CB radios.
There you go. We had a caller just call back, said 8089 says, they were adding it to the rhyme. to make the February part rhyme.
Yeah, how do you
It
do
says,
that?
It's 1 year in four, it has one day more.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, yeah, you can add that,
that
to that. So that's
kind
of cool.
Part.
So it stays with the rhyme.
Yeah.
And thank you. I'm with you. I can't remember for what I went into the room, you know, from 1 minute to the next. Can't remember what I went into the room for. Yeah, I've been there. Walk out, and you can remember what happened 30-something years ago, but you can't remember what you were going into the next
yeah.
room for. Know that feeling.
Yep. Dial somebody and forget who you call. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anyway.
That's okay.
It's the 28th day of September. We got that
it
nailed
is.
Down.
And we'll kind of want to make sure we get first things first
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yesterday was the homegoing celebration of Brother Ricky Rackley.
Yeah, boy.
And what a celebration it was.
I'm telling you, sister, I tell you, if you really want to, you know, join in with us in really relishing and enjoying and praising the Lord, you can go to Anchor Broadcasting. It is posted on Anchor Baptist Facebook page, and you can watch the video. The line was so impressive to see folks
yeah.
come from everywhere. We did not get started on time, which was, you know, that's a
yeah.
testimony in itself. We did not get started at 2. Visitation started at 12:30 or so. It was around 2:30 mm-hmm. or so before we were able to get through. And then the service began. Most of us that were on the honor guard, we left a little earlier to get back to the cemetery, but they just finished up in prayer somewhere around, I'm thinking it's somewhere around between 4:30 and 5 mm-hmm. to get everybody, you know, ready to make the trip back to Blue Ridge Gardens of Memory. So the service itself was that long, and it was just incredible. Preaching, testifying, weeping, shouting.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like literally, you know, and it was a testimony to Brother Ricky
yeah.
and his love for the Lord and his love for preaching. And love for his church members
yeah.
and being in meeting. He
yeah.
loved being in meeting. And we were in meeting yesterday. You can just say that. I mean, I praise the Lord for the time we got to be there. Amening and shouting and praising the Lord. And while the preaching was going on, singing was tremendous. And, you know, I'm hoping, I know the Lord was pleased, and
yeah.
I know that Brother Ricky would have been honored, and
yeah.
he was.
Yeah.
He really was. And so. And I think his brother Barry made a point in the message, you know, talking about, for to me to live is Christ.
Yeah.
And to die is gain.
Amen.
He made a statement. He said that in my life, Christ has no competitor.
Hmm.
Now that, friend, is a,
wow.
it is a powerful statement. In Brother Ricky's life, Christ had no competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we as the men of God and all of us Christians should make that statement in our life, for to me to live is Christ
mm.
and to die is gain. Christ should not have a competitor
no.
in any of the aspect of our life. I thought that was tremendous.
Mm.
I saw Brother Doug Raines, he was retweeting that and reposting that, and I was too. It was incredible.
Mm.
And he kind of started to apologize a little bit for going long. And he said, but no. He said, we're here to honor a preacher.
Yeah.
And we're going to preach. And we're going to have preaching.
Amen.
And you know, what better way?
That's right.
What better way, you know, to honor the Lord and to honor the service of
yeah.
a dear man of God, just like that yesterday. So praise the Lord. And the graveside service was tremendous. And, you know, I think the school was right there, because it's right there next
mm-hmm.
to the school. They ceased their football practice.
Mm.
You could hear them, whistles blowing, and the kids, they were having practice. Nah, they stopped and knew what
that
we had going on.
Respectful.
So very respectful. Thank you for that. And appreciate the Transylvania County Sheriff's Department. You know, they obviously do a great job every time.
Yeah.
So praise the Lord. Wonderful day. I know
yeah.
I took a little extra there, but
no,
praise God for
I
a wonderful
wanted you
time.
To, and it was honoring
yes.
to Brother Rackley. And I trust that Miss Jenny and the family
got a
glimpse of how
yeah.
loved and appreciated not just Brother Ricky is, but their family is.
Yeah. I mean, they sang.
Yeah.
I've been in service where they've sung, and it, you know, and during years before.
Yeah.
And they were such a joy to get the Miss Jenny around the piano yesterday to sing with Jonathan and Brandon. They got up and sang. You know, it was such tremendous
effort.
And Whitney and her family were there, and they sang.
Yeah.
You know, it's such incredible. It was, 15 years is a long time.
Yeah.
To have to prepare, and they knew that this day would come, and God in that period, I've watched grace, but then I saw grace.
Amen.
I've watched it. But then when it's always great to watch it and then see it happen right there before you and see the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And so
it was on display
yesterday. It really was.
In a definite way.
Yeah.
And from the first song with Miss Deanna, it was honoring to the Lord.
Yes.
And it was honoring to the man of God.
Yeah.
And his memory and the faithful service.
Yeah.
And so God bless you, Miss Jenny, and all the family.
Yeah.
You remain in our prayers. I know I've often heard folks say that, and when you're in the middle of it, of all the plans that you got to make, and you got to be here and you got to be there and planning the service. But then sometimes it's when the last amen is said at the graveside and you go home that those are some of the most difficult days.
Yeah.
So we would ask, as we have during this whole period, we've asked you to pray for them. Would you please continue to pray for not just the Rackley family, but to all those that are bereaved?
Yeah. Yeah.
Praying for you.
For sure.
Well, we're also praying for folks in Florida. And
do you see what I'm seeing?
The eyewall of Ian is coming ashore. And I jotted down something a minute ago, Brother Eddie, that I saw. They said the eyewall of this storm, it's a Cat 4
right now,
with 155 mile-per-hour winds.
Yeah.
The eyewall, which is the center of this storm, is between 15 and 20 miles wide.
Yeah.
That is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
They said that when it comes ashore, that people within the eyewall could stay in that for between 1 to 2 hours, possibly more. And that eyewall is where those winds are 155 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
How could you handle 155 mile per hour wind for 2 hours?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why they've been so such a concerted effort to try to get folks to evacuate because of this. I mean, we know we've seen Category 4 storms back, when Katrina hit.
Yeah.
They were talking about when Hurricane Charley hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's following the same track. And this, but the issue with this one is obviously, we were just watching video out of Fort Myers here of storm surge. And I heard the statistic, and I think you probably got it there, 18 feet.
Yep.
18 feet of a wall of water that's coming in near the Fort Myers area that's going to inundate the entire city.
I mean, 18 feet, it's going to, I don't know any barriers that it won't cross.
Yeah, yeah. It's right now, it is just shy. Of these, we've got some pictures. Folks are sending us pictures via Facebook from near just off the coast of Hurricane. And I'm telling you, it's just I don't know. You can go ahead. I'll see if I can. I'll see if I can put this up on the screen.
18 feet of storm surge, but then let's further complicate that with up to 2 feet of rainfall.
Right.
And, we were talking yesterday, you mentioned about this cold front that came down.
Yeah.
Well, this cold front passed us and brought us some cold temperatures, but the deal is it has slowed down Ian.
Right.
So I believe that's going to be the Skyway Bridge.
That is, yeah.
That comes from Tampa over. We traveled that bridge every day.
Wow.
From Tampa into Clearwater, and I thought it was closed, but a car just went across. But that might have been a video. But it's white capping, and it's coming across the road.
Incredible, yeah. Yeah,
but they said up to 2 feet of rain, so 24 inches of rain.
Yeah,
with an 18-foot storm surge.
Mm. Well, 18 feet, nearly two stories high.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to push into the bay with no way to get out. And so it's going to continue right on in over land. And that's what they're saying. Storm surge is what a lot of folks, that's above what's normally dry ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key word. What's normally dry ground, that's 18 feet above that.
Yeah.
We're talking second level of a parking deck. We're talking
single story
house will be covered up.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking second story of a hotel room, second story of a hospital, second story. I mean, we're talking anything at 18 feet tall is, I mean, that's going to what's be pushed in from the winds and from this storm.
And when you're at sea level, where's your water going to go?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's really not much of a runoff to deal with. Last I saw was 270,000 people without power, but that was probably an hour to an hour and a half ago.
Wow.
And so please pray for folks in Florida.
Yeah.
And what, if I understand it, and help me with this, Ian is coming ashore on the Gulf side.
Yes.
From Fort Myers toward Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very wide cone there.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Going to track across Florida. Instead, it's going to take more of an easterly path.
Correct.
Instead of a straight northerly path, which is what they were thinking maybe yesterday or day before.
Right.
It's going to go back into the Atlantic, and then they expect it to go north and then take a turn back to the west.
Mm-hmm.
And have a second landfall?
Potentially give as a tropical storm. Because
okay.
It's going to lose a lot of its punch as it makes its way across the peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
And gets back into just south. I think they're looking at the track is going to come just south of Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And down toward St. Augustine and cut across. And then it's going to turn back north and then turn back in. Even though all of the coast is still going to be in the cone.
Right.
It's going to turn back and head in probably over pretty much all of Georgia, South Carolina, and all the way up to portions of North Carolina,
Nag's Head,
all the Outer Banks, and that's what all of Georgia, all of South Carolina, and North Carolina are going to be in the cone for the next roughly two to three days.
Yeah, there's tropical storm warnings now along the beaches in South Carolina and Georgia, and they said, you know, coming back in, Savannah, Charleston, even up to Myrtle.
Yep.
Is kind of where the cone of uncertainty in that. And then it's going to bring us rain.
Yeah.
And the North Carolina Emergency Management, let me grab an email here, that they have sent out. And I appreciate folks sharing this with us, that, you know, on the coast, they've got the gusty winds and tropical storm.
Yeah.
Maybe some isolated tornadoes. Around here in the mountains, our greatest impact is going to be the heavy rain.
Right.
And not saying we won't have some wind, but they say the heavy rain could result in some localized flash flooding. And even some landslides along the Blue Ridge Escarpment.
Yeah.
Now, explain to folks what that means when we say Blue Ridge Escarpment.
That is usually the eastern-facing portions of the Blue Ridge Mountains, which is the Appalachian, the southern portion of the Appalachian chain, right here in western North Carolina. So anything east, because since this system is going to be pretty much on the eastern portion of the mountains, that's where it's going to... All of this is going to be pushing in toward us, and
mm-hmm.
so you're going to see a lot get lost in elevation when it start. You know, the from the wind point of view, and from you know, the effects of the tropical storm. So it's going to lose a little bit of its wind impact, but as the moisture starts to lift, guess where it goes? It goes up into the atmosphere where it collects,
mm-hmm.
and as it gets colder, warm air. As it gets colder. It'll go ahead and, you know, it reduces its pressure, and the next thing you know, it falls as heavy rain. And there's where we're going to get those sudden downpours.
Yeah.
Over the next couple of, you know, starting Friday into Saturday and Sunday. So
yeah.
That's on the eastern portion of the mountains, all the way up through, you know, even the foothills are going to see a lot of that. And then, of course, more wind, heavier rain as you get toward the coast.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of how it breaks down.
Yeah, kind of breaks down that way.
And they're talking here, our rainfall, I've heard anywhere 3 inches, maybe on the low side.
Yeah, yeah.
2 on the heavy side, maybe 7 inches.
Yeah, wow.
And that's over 2 to 3 days. And someone asked, when will the rain start?
Okay. From what we've been forecasting, I know, you know, we've been forecasting it this morning from, you know, from the National Weather Service, letting you know what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, you know, like sometime Friday night, late Friday night,
yeah,
is when we're supposed to see it, I think.
Yeah, there's a very slight chance around 3 o'clock Friday that, I don't know how, when this was updated, I hit refresh, so this might be a newer one.
Right.
But they're saying partly sunny
after 3 o'clock
Friday,
okay,
but 3 p.m. is when the chance of rain comes, and when the winds are going to be, say, 10 to 15 with gusts as high as 25. Friday night, rain likely before 2 a.m., and then they're saying the heaviest rain is going to fall somewhere between 2 and 5
okay
in the morning, and then thunderstorms possible after 5, and we'll see heavy rain for the biggest part of Friday night into Saturday.
Yeah.
Or Friday morning, I guess.
They were showing pictures of the storm,
mm-hmm,
from the International Space Station, just the vapor. And I'm telling you, this thing, I mean, when you just look at normal radar right now as we're looking at it, it don't say, well, you know, it's just hitting Florida, it's no big deal. But the far-reaching bands of this thing is, I mean, it's incredible. It is, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's covered the entire state of Florida right now.
Yeah.
And even southern portions of Georgia it's covering. And the outer bands are starting to, and it spreads out all the way into the Atlantic,
yeah,
about halfway into the Gulf of Mexico.
Up around Wilmington.
I mean, we're
major
expansion with this storm. And it's huge from the satellite point of view. I was looking at that picture earlier. It's pretty amazing.
When you look at it, brother, it's ominous.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know enough adjectives to put on this storm. And then you look, not only are the storm surge warnings and advisories pretty much all the way up the eastern seaboard.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back and folks, this is going to affect folks over into Louisiana.
Yeah, I saw where they'd stretched that all the way into New Orleans, all the way past over toward Corpus Christi. I mean,
to Texas,
all the way over. I mean, this is going to have far reaching effects. It's a major, and use the words of the governor, mm-hmm, of Florida. He said this is a major, used it twice, major catastrophic event for his state. And when, you know, and granted, he's got the best resources at his disposal, and he was giving the details of how the response is going to be afterward.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but as it is right now, what's going to happen is happening and is going to happen, and we are ready to respond as soon as we can. We've got 1-0580. Appreciate you, brother. Said that, yeah, they had the winds are on the eye wall, but inside the eye of the storm is beautiful weather. It sure is.
Mm.
Yeah, they waited 5 hours, they said, in beautiful sunshine and beautiful weather until the other side of the wall came through.
Oh, wow.
And crossed back over. And the backside is always the strongest, he said.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so again.
Never been through one.
Yeah.
You know, like that. We lived in Florida in Tampa or Largo.
Yeah.
But we had some storms, but nothing like this.
Yeah.
They were saying that this path is very similar to Charlie,
mm-hmm,
but they said Charlie, to kind of put it in perspective, the eye wall of Charlie was 5 to 7 miles wide.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is double, pretty much double.
15 to 20.
Wow. Wow. That's
amazing. And I saw the hurricane hunters, and that might not be the right word.
Yeah, that's the right word, yeah.
Is it okay?
The ones
that
in the planes.
They fly into it.
Mm-hmm.
They, I saw them last night on a news report, and they talked to them briefly, but they showed what they were seeing,
mm-hmm,
and it was just, you couldn't see anything other than this storm.
Wow.
It's circulating. And it kind of just gave you that feeling in the pit of your stomach,
yeah,
God bless the dear folks that are having to deal with this.
I'm always amazed with those guys. And, of course, you know, me being an Air Force guy, you know, the Air Force operates the C-130s, which run through it. So that's the prop plane, which is amazing to me. They fly an actual propeller-driven aircraft, which has been in operation. I mean, these planes have been around for a long, long time, but they are so weather worthy.
They're built like
tank. They are. They literally are, and they are so stable in that environment. But the nerves of those guys and gals that are flying those things are amazing. Now NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they fly basically a C-21, which is like a Lear jet, and they fly at a higher elevation. That's the pictures that you see from above, and those are the ones come from NOAA. And about 30,000 feet is where they're flying. But these guys are flying at the height of the storm, which is about 14,500 feet, and they're getting all the turbulence everything that they're flying through. It is incredible to watch.
I can't imagine it, but I watched it last night, and they were all... You know, I don't know what kind of nerves you have, fortitude, but God bless you. Yeah, brave, I don't know. And, you know, unfortunately, we're probably going to see some effects, not just in our weather, from this storm, because Sunny reminded it that, let me back up here. I lost the number there that says that, you know, our produce, our winter produce, a lot of it comes out of Florida. I was also reading about there's a huge fertilizer company that is based in Tampa. And they have, that's their main headquarters. And they were talking about how that their distribution of fertilizer for the winter crops. We don't necessarily think about winter crops around here, but we continue to get fruit, don't we?
Right.
So, but they said that there will, you know, be impacts. And around here, we've got, again, we talked about the rain. We might have some wind. We could see some power outages. Pray for Duke Energy. I saw just a little while ago that Duke Energy has crews that are staged ready to go to Florida to help.
Yeah,
because I don't know with that kind of wind how many things can remain standing, if anything. But they were talking that a big part of the whole state of Florida would be without power.
All right. Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I had one to text in a minute ago. If you want to know the exact detail of the line of the Blue Ridge Escarpment, we talked about that in our area right here. And that is a line that obviously is right where we're living right now, and it literally drops off the mountain as you go into the foothills of upstate South Carolina. So as you see that eastern escarpment right here, because we're on a plateau here on this side of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and so here obviously our mountains go a little taller as you get over toward the Black Mountain area and over that to where you get to Mount Mitchell, and then if things level off, and so even the city of Hendersonville is on a plateau.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we take the big drop, like if you drop off Caesar's Head, if you go out towards Caesar's Head and down that way, it drops off down that way. And, of course, you see how big the drop is. If you go from Toxaway down to Jocassee, down to Kiowee, on, you see how dramatic drop we have into the foothills.
Or if you've looked out of the Pretty Place Chapel, you've looked from there at the front where the big cross is, that shows you the drop.
So we could see when they talk about heavy rainfall upon the eastern escarpment of the Blue Ridge, that's what they're talking about, is that level of plateau right here where that change in elevation is so prominent, you know, to where you get a lot of lift and you get a lot of rise with those storms. You know how sometimes you'll have tornadoes in the upstate, right, just down at the foot of the mountains, but then the escarpment kind of blocks that off.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same effect it has with thunderstorms coming our direction from this way. So that's what that is. Thank you for calling and asking that question. I gave it straight to you from their website, believe it or not.
Blue Ridge Escarpment.
The Blue Ridge Escarpment.
Has a website.
They have a website.
Something that I found interesting in looking just in research and whatnot, we've talked about the power of water And, you know, and we were talking about the storm surge and all the rain. But I got this from ncready.gov, and then I also went to the National Hurricane Center and got some info from them. But as far as how much water it takes to move different things, 6 inches of fast-moving water can knock a full-size adult off their feet.
Oh, yeah.
12 inches of fast-moving water can carry away a vehicle. And 18 to 24 inches can move vans and trucks, etc.
Wow. Okay.
So that gives you a little bit. And one other thing, we're talking about 155 mile per hour winds.
Mm-hmm.
The threshold to go a Category 5 is 156 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So it is at the threshold, catastrophic.
That's the numbers that the meteorologists use, you know, when they get to that 1 mile per hour. But I could probably say with this, if they got 155, and that is, by the way, 155 mile an hour sustained winds.
Not a gust.
That's not a gust. So obviously near the eye wall, we're talking gust higher than that, at least. Gusts that are higher than 155. So technically, if you're thinking about it in a broader spectrum, the storm off and on has probably been over the last several hours at Cat 5. It's not officially,
right?
Because it's not sustained. But unofficially, it's probably been Cat 5 off and on throughout the morning, you know, because of those gusts. And the damage is probably going to be near the same when you think about it, if not more.
It's 1 mile.
Yeah.
Per hour.
I don't think you're going to be a whole lot of big difference between the damage and the devastation that's going to cause.
Yeah.
So again,
we'll watch it, and we don't mean to belabor it too long, but it's very important that I think that that we share certain information with you. And around here, if you're preparing, we may see some power outages, so I'd make sure that I had some my flashlights handy and things like that. And we'll see, things will moderate and get better by the first part of next week.
Okay. I'm looking across in Studio B, and according to the National Weather Service and the Weather Channel, that the eyewall has made landfall.
Okay.
And so it's right there, I think near Port Charlotte, right there near just north of Naples. Mm. And so the eyewall has made landfall ahead of schedule, actually. They were calling it for some time later this afternoon.
Yeah.
So it has made landfall.
And we'll see they can do their best predictions on the best information they have.
Yeah.
But the track still remains uncertain and the timing uncertain as far as where it's going to go once it hits land, how it's going to react.
Pray, just literally, folks, we just really need to be praying for this very devastating. We have a lot of family. We got a lot of friends. I've got a lot of ministry friends down there.
Yeah.
So, and I've got family there just on the other side. In Jacksonville, and so we are praying that this thing will, you know, I know folks are texting in, 8089 is telling us, you know, that they have family in Central Florida, and we're praying for that situation there, too. Just join us in prayer today.
Yeah, and we'll watch things, and again, please pray.
Yep.
Please pray for Florida. Well, we'll go ahead and jump into our items for this Wednesday. If you've got something for us, give us a call, 828-884-9427.
All right. Here is a steel weed eater. It is the F-250 model in excellent condition. Call for more information, 507-2478. 507-2478.
16-foot dual-axle trailer with loading ramp. They have the title, $500. A pool table with all the accessories for $500. And an oak-framed oval mirror in excellent condition for $50. 553-2268. 553-2268.
Here is someone needing someone to come blow insulation into an attic area of a one-story ranch house. 884-6153, 884-6153.
1,000 feet of wormy chestnut paneling, 3/4 inch thick, and the widths vary. They're asking $6,000. They also have 1,000 feet of oak flooring. You can call for pricing on that. They also have 2 16-inch turf tires and wheels for a small compact tractor for $150 and a 50-inch LG Smart TV. Call 681-9615.
Here's for sale the ultimate play piano in a flash system, plus book volume number 2, asking $10. Also new, still wrapped up, sewing machine attachments, 32 pieces of foot attachments. It fits any low shaft machine, asking $25, originally $54.99. And also a Seiko watch. It's yellow gold with pearl facing, black pearl on the stem, has 8 tiny diamonds around the facing, and it has a stainless steel back. Asking $60. 577-5663, 577-5663.
Angus freezer beef, grass and grain fed, custom cut and packaged to your specifications. They are selling bulk by the hanging weight of $5.50 per pound, and you need to buy at least half. Processing date is October 17th, 230-8461. 230-8461.
Here's a Harley Davidson gray boots, brand new women's size 9 for $10. Also, they have a set of dishes for $10 and a queen size bedspread for $40. 577-5663, 577-5663.
14-week-old female purebred chocolate lab. She's super sweet, up to date on her shots, and they do have her parents' paperwork. Over in the Fletcher area, $300. And they say a good way to reach them is email dirkamiddleton@gmail.com. Or you can text or call 828-216-3475. Again, email dirkamiddleton@gmail.com or 828-216-3475.
Here's a job opportunity looking to hire several individuals with experience in building retaining walls and operating equipment, a plus but not required. Work in both North and South Carolina. You can call them at 864-561-7794. 864-561-7794.
Now here is a standard poodle. It's a male, about 3 years old, AKC registered, and they're just having to rehome him. They're sad about it because he's such a sweet and loving little fella. Apricot and white in color. There's a photo on our website at WGCR.net under Swap Shop. And he is up to date on his vaccinations. He's crate trained and house trained. 577-6055. 577-6055.
Here's two sets of 48-inch folding doors, free for pickup in the Pisgah Forest area, 883-9415. Again, 883-9415.
And I think that's our items for today. Want to say happy birthday to Teresa Kinsey today.
Yeah, happy birthday. God bless you.
It is a great day for you. Looking at our area roadways, I-40 and I-26, looking pretty decent for a noontime. Still a little congestion in the downtown Brevard area. It's just lunchtime.
Yep.
And still dealing with the detour on Highway 64, and it's partially opened. They say that they're going to probably December have everything.
Yeah, I went through there yesterday.
Normal.
Wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
So,
as you're heading up toward Brevard, you get to go straight. You still have to kind of take the roundabout detour on the way back this way.
Yeah.
But be careful. And again, if your church meets on Wednesday night,
please be there. We'd love to have you. Yeah, go to your place where you worship, where your name is on the roll.
Amen.
Amen.
And we'll see you here tomorrow.
Take care.